if you could be on mute so folks can clearly hear the meeting today. I know sometimes it's a little challenging to remember that in our virtual world now, but please, if you're not speaking, remain on mute to minimize interference. Also, as a reminder, the call is being recorded today and will be actually put on the website for Lycoming County Planning to help our outreach and continued communication with the public, and also then they can also offer any from what we're discussing today. So with that, we've completed our roll call, and in terms of the meeting minutes from November 9th, those were distributed as part of the package for today. So does anyone have any comments on the meeting minutes from November 9th? Okay, hearing no comments, do I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from November 9th?
Gary Mullins, I'll move to approve.
Carrie, motion. Okay, Commissioner Marabito, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Okay, motion carries. The meeting minutes from November 9th are approved. Okay, we will now move to the public comment period, and it is open for public comment. Anyone have any comments they would like to offer at this time? Okay, hearing none, we will move into the action items for today's meeting. The first action item is the TIP amendment, and that is to actually reaffirm the electronic ballot that Scott Williams presented for the amendment. So, Scott, do you want to cover that?
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone. This first item for your approval is a reaffirmation of the e-ballot that I sent out last month. It was for a TIP amendment. As you'll recall, this would have been the beginning of December. I asked you all to vote via email to approve an amendment to the 2021-2024 Watts TIP, where we are changing the funding source of the construction phase of a bridge improvement on Lycoming Mall Drive over Bennett's Run and Fairfield Township. We are changing the funding from state to federal, and that required a TIP amendment. So the motion was approved by e-ballot, and the tech committee also voted via e-ballot to recommend approval of the TIP amendment, and 2 weeks ago they reaffirmed their vote. So now I just need, per the Watts bylaws, the Watts Coordinating Committee to vote to reaffirm their e-ballot vote from last month.
Okay, do we have a motion for someone to reaffirm the ballot for the TIP amendment that was presented last month concerning the Bennett's Run Bridge?
I'll move to reaffirm the e-ballot. This is Marabito.
Okay, Commissioner Marabito made a motion. Second.
Dover, second.
Okay, Jeff Dover, second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, anyone oppose? Okay, the motion carries, and the TIP amendment reaffirming the e-ballot is approved. The next action item is the Watts bylaws in terms of modification being proposed to amend those concerning the Lycoming County Borough Association. And Scott, you're going to cover that?
Yes. So we did discuss this at our last meeting when I informed you that the Lycoming Sullivan Boroughs Association has dissolved. So that organization is a member of the Watts Coordinating Committee per the Watts bylaws. We would like to maintain representation on the Coordinating Committee for Lycoming County's 9 boroughs. We have representation from the Township Supervisors Association and from the city, but we would like to have some sort of borough representation on the committee as well. So since the last meeting, we've reviewed this and we've come up with an approach that we think is viable for your review and approval today. We also took this opportunity while we were reviewing the bylaws to see if any other sections need to be cleaned up or changed. So all of the proposed edits are in the packet, in the bylaws, they're highlighted. So anything that's highlighted in there is something that we're recommending a change to the bylaws. So the major new language that you'll see regarding borough representation can be found on page 11 of the meeting packet. Our proposed solution here is that every 2 years, the Watts secretary, myself, will contact all 9 boroughs in Lycoming County and gauge their interest in participating in this committee. We will then present any interested boroughs, so we'll hear back from them if they're interested in serving on the committee. We'll have a conversation with them, make sure that they understand what is required of them to serve on the committee, like what the content is, to make sure they actually are interested and they're willing to commit to attending 8 meetings over the 2 years. And after that, if they're still interested, we will then present the interested boroughs and a recommendation to the Watts Technical Committee. And then the Watts Technical Committee will discuss this and make a nomination. And we'll do that at a public committee, so everything is or public committee meeting. So it's very transparent, you know, as we make the choice. And that nominated borough from the Technical Committee will then be nominated to the Coordinating Committee to represent the interests of all 9 boroughs in the county, and would serve on the Coordinating Committee for a 2-year term. And they would be approved by the Coordinating Committee. So the Technical Committee nominates the borough, and the Coordinating Committee then approves that nomination or discusses it and maybe, you know, approves a different borough. I mean, that's going to be a process that we'll work through as we do this. We've constructed the language so that the process does get hung up. So if, say, the Technical Committee nominates a borough, there's discussion on the Coordinating Committee that maybe a different borough would be a better choice. If we get hung up and we have to go back and forth between the committees a little bit to make a good decision, and a previously appointed borough will continue to serve until the new appointment occurs. So we don't have any sort of gap from borough representation on the committee. We also added some language to the bylaws specifying that the Coordinating and Technical Committees will set their meeting schedule for the upcoming calendar year at the last meeting of the year. So we're already doing that customarily, but while making bylaws amendments, I thought it would be a good idea to formalize that process in the bylaws as something that we're doing as part of our process. The other major change that we've added into the bylaws that we're recommending is the addition of Section 3 to Article 4. So that will be on page 15 of the packet. So this new section clarifies that a majority vote of the Coordinating Committee is sufficient to alter the membership of any Watts Committee. I mean, that's how we've been doing this, but there actually wasn't any specific language anywhere in the bylaws that says that that's how we alter the makeup of any committee, is by a majority vote of the Coordinating Committee. So we added that language in. One more note on the borough representative, if we do choose to go forward with this recommended language in the bylaws, the first appointee we would recommend would serve a shortened term. So that would be the remainder of 2021 and then all of 2022. And the reason for that is that length of term and having it end then makes the most sense because it syncs up with our TIP and UPWP update cycles. So we wouldn't have an appointee that would only be there for part of those processes. They would be there the whole way through that process. So then our next reappointment would be the last public meeting of 2022. Our first appointment here, we're going to try to get a nominee for you at the next meeting. So that would be on May 10th. So we'll work through this process once and we'll have a nominee for you on May 10th. So these bylaws changes were reviewed by the tech committee 2 weeks ago, and they voted in favor of recommending approval of this. So at this time, of course, pending any questions or discussions from the committee, I would like to ask for approval of these recommended changes to the lots bylaws.
Any questions for Scott or comments on the proposed changes?
This is Commissioner Maravito. So if we happen to be lucky and have two or three boroughs that are interested, we will leave it up to them to decide to put one forward, or will we just review all three? I'm reading the amendment, and I'm not quite sure it touches on that. I think it would be better for us to leave it up to them to put one forward to us. It might actually help them redirect their boroughs association.
So, Commissioner, that would be part of the process. I mean, we will talk to all of the interested boroughs. I mean, there will be a conversation between us and the boroughs to determine who is, you know, the best choice. So if we have, like, two or three boroughs that are all interested, I would want to have a conversation with all of them at the same time to see where we stand and who would be, you know, the best choice.
Okay. So then we would leave it. Do we need to specify that, or do you think it's already specified in the language that we would make the final choice? I mean, obviously, we would make the final choice as to who's selected. Oh, so in other words, what you're suggesting is all three of the names might go to the technical committee. The technical committee would review them and pick one.
Exactly. And okay. As part of this process, as part of this process as well, I will make a recommendation. And part of that recommendation that comes from me to the technical committee before they nominate someone is going to have to do with conversations that I have with the boroughs. So if they tell me they're interested and say I have three boroughs that are very, very interested, I'm going to have a conversation with them, with all three of them, where we can all talk about what the expectations are, what the content is of these committee meetings, and make sure that they're, you know, willing to commit the time to this. And if they still are, I mean, that's what we'll take to the technical committee and say, hey, we have two or three very strong candidates here that are very interested, and we'll discuss that in the technical committee. And we'll invite the boroughs to participate in that meeting. It's a public meeting, and they can make their case there as well.
Okay. Yeah, Commissioner, it's Mark Morosky. We feel we had to do it this way because the boroughs collectively don't have a single organization or a way to vote collectively on making a recommendation among all the boroughs as to who their reps should be. So that's why we would talk to them, get a feel for what they want, and then we would have to make the call at Watts in lieu of the fact they don't have a collective organization.
Okay, that makes sense.
Hey, Scott, one question. When somebody's term is up, is there a possibility that if everybody liked them, they could continue on for another term? Or do you have to change people?
Well, we put in the proposal for the bylaws that it would be no consecutive terms unless no other boroughs basically apply. Because, you know, we'd like it to rotate around and not have the same rep all the time. You know, and that's sort of another way to look at this. If we have very strong interest from multiple boroughs in participating in the committee, you know, we can say, hey, well, you didn't get it now, but, you know, in 2 years, we're going to have an opening again. And, you know, they won't be blocked by a borough that's already on the committee. Now, fundamentally, if we get in a situation where we have one borough that is serving and is doing a great job, like you said, and, you know, it comes up for reappointment, that's going to be part of that conversation as well. If we have other boroughs say that they're interested, but we have a rep on there who's doing a good job of, you know, and remember, part of this is that borough, when they commit to serving on the committee, part of that is they're supposed to represent the interests of all 9 boroughs, not just themselves, on the committee. So that can be a conversation that we have. If, you know, borough A is already on the committee and borough B is like, you know, we kind of like to be on this, we would want to have a conversation with both boroughs and say, you know, borough A is already on the committee. Do you feel that they're representing your interests now? You know, I mean, that's part of the whole process and the conversation that's going to happen when we do these appointments.
Right. Well, I think you got the best that we can do for right now, and let's see how it goes. You know, if it needs tweaked later because of the direct experience of what we're finding out here, then we can always amend the bylaws and change the process if we have to. So, but it's a good start.
That's a really good point, Mark, is that, you know, this is, you know, we can make the bylaws amendment now, and, you know, we can very easily do tweaks to this process if it turns out that it doesn't work very well.
Okay, any other comments or questions for Scott? Okay, hearing none, do have a motion to approve the bylaw amendments.
I move to approve this, Commissioner Maravito.
Okay.
I second it. This is Catherine Banks.
I'm sorry, I didn't get to second it.
Dave Banks was what, City Council?
Okay, so Dave Banks seconded the motion. All in favor? I'm sorry. Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries to modify the Watts bylaws to address the representation from Lycoming County Borough Association. To represent Lycoming County Boroughs. All right. With that, we'll move on to the last action item, which is the performance measures that are for the FAST Act. And, Scott, you are going to cover those also.
Yes, I certainly hope everyone wants to hear me talk some more, because the third action item that I have for you this morning is an authorization for me to sign and return the performance measure documentation for Watts for 2021. So this is something we've done every year for a few years now. There are 3 sets of performance measures stemming from federal transportation bills from MAP 21 and the current FAST Act. There's the PM1 safety measures, the PM2 system condition measures, and PM3 system reliability measures. So I would like to remind the committee that these performance measures apply to PennDOT statewide. Here in Lycoming County, as an MPO, we can either support PennDOT statewide targets by incorporating them into our planning and programming, which is what we've been doing up until now very successfully as well. Or our other option would be that we could set up our own more stringent targets, but then we would be completely on the hook for meeting those targets and tracking them. This documentation that we have now is where we, you know, sign on to support the statewide target set by PennDOT. So my recommendation is that we continue to do as we have done before and support the statewide performance measure targets. So I would like an authorization from the committee to sign and return the documentation that we will continue to support those statewide performance measure targets.
I'll move to approve to give authorization to Mr. Williams to approve the phase one.
Commissioner
Maravito, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you. Do I have a second?
This is Carrie Mullins. I'll second the motion.
Okay, thank you, Carrie. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Thank you. I'll get that documentation returned this week.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we're moving on to the discussion. Chris.
Okay, thank you, Sandy. Again, the action items are, they are changes to the watch tip that are of a minor nature and don't require a vote by the committee. So these are provided for information. There are four pages of them at the end of your packet. Pages 31, 2, 3, and 4 of the PDF document. I won't run through them all. Generally speaking, we have a number of embankment failures in the county. Many of these actions were funding the pre-construction phases, such as design, right-of-way utilities for those slides, those embankment failures. We have a local bridge construction increase, and there are also some funds for design phases on a couple of projects, a traffic signal on a bridge in Muncie Borough. So if you have any questions on any project or action on those four pages, you can let me know or email me later if something comes to you.
Any questions? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the second discussion item. Thanks, Chris. Action 6, delivery devices, Scott.
Yes, I included an information sheet in the packet that was prepared by PennDOT. Regarding Act 106, which was passed by the legislature late 2020, which authorizes personal delivery devices. So this act will go into effect January 30th, 2021, which is imminent. So in short, personal delivery devices, or PDDs, they're delivery robots is what they are. And Act 106 classifies these robots as pedestrians. They have to operate according to all pedestrian regulations in the vehicle code. Part of it, though, is that the robots have to yield right-of-way to pedestrians and cyclists when they're using a shared facility, and they are allowed to operate in the roadway under certain conditions. But I just wanted to bring this up to the committee. I thought it might be interesting for some discussion. The comment period on this ended last Friday, and I did participate in a webinar regarding this and asked a few questions. I didn't really have any comment to submit on it, but I did have some questions that I wanted clarified. The main takeaway that I got from the webinar and the questions I asked is that this is still a very new technology. These devices are still relatively rare nationwide, not just in Pennsylvania. So it's unlikely that we're going to see much implementation of this locally anytime soon. But PennDOT is putting a process in place to document and authorize these devices. So I think the information sheet does a pretty good job of summarizing it, but essentially every municipality in Pennsylvania will have the opportunity to either approve or prohibit the operation of these PDDs within their boundaries, or even in particular areas within their boundaries. So they could designate certain areas for where they're allowed to be used along certain roadways or, you know, certain pedestrian areas, or they're prohibited from certain areas. One of the other things I asked about, and I believe this is a question that came up in the tech committee, is whether or not there was going to be any ability for PennDOT or a municipality to collect a fee from an operator of a PDD. So to say, you know, if you're going to operate PDDs here, we're going to ask that you pay some sort of fee in order to do so, and that money could then be used to improve the pedestrian infrastructure that the PDDs would use. Unfortunately, there is no mechanism for that to occur. So it's just going to be a straight approval or prohibition on them from local governments and from PennDOT, but there isn't any process built into this where we can collect money to help pay for maintaining the infrastructure. But I just wanted to kind of throw that out there for the committee if anyone had any thoughts or opinions on that. Even though the public comment period is ended, that was just last Friday. I'm sure that I could still get the comments in today if anyone had anything they wanted me to share with PennDOT regarding this.
Hey, Scott, it's Mark. I saw the CETACOG comments. I guess it was in their meeting packet, Carrie and Justover. They were really good comments. And, you know, I would see maybe we jointly support the comments they've already issued or something like that. Because it was a pretty thorough review. And they raised a lot of issues that I thought were pertinent locally for us to have addressed.
This is Rick Mirabito. By just way of information, does anyone know why it was done without the governor's signature? Did he intentionally, I assume he intentionally didn't sign it, which then became law, but does anyone know why?
I do not. I don't know if anyone else on the committee knows.
Was it a standalone bill, do you know, or were there other things in it?
You know, I'm not sure about that. Everything I've seen on it just refers to Act 106. But I don't know if it was passed by itself or not.
Hey, Arnie, are you still on the call?
I am.
Yeah, do you know anything about the background of that or how it was passed?
I do not. Let me see here. What is it, Act?
Oh, Senate Bill 1199. Act 106 of 2020.
Commissioner Mary, is that Councilman Banks? I'm looking at the text of the bill. It seems to be a standalone bill.
Okay. So theoretically, you can have one municipality approve it and the one next door doesn't approve it, so your device can only go so far.
I have a quick question about this. Was there anything brought up in the comments about if, say, a PennDOT district approves it and then a municipality, you know, denies operation, how that would work? for the state routes within the municipality?
Yeah, from my understanding, it's up to the municipality to approve or prohibit the operation of these. And then PennDOT then moves forward with the authorization. There's certain documentation that has to happen. They get, like, essentially like a license to operate then. But the first step in it is the operator of the PDD has to approach the municipality and get them to either approve it or prohibit it. And there's a documentation process that they have to do with the municipality saying, like, exactly where they're going to operate them, along what roadways. And so that's the first step. And then after the municipality reviews, then PennDOT then continues with the authorization of it.
You know, maybe someone from PennDOT can answer this. Does the state legislation now allow a municipality to prohibit trucks of a certain weight on their roads? I would imagine it does, right? Like, could I be driving along in Loyalstock with a truck and then I cross into, you know, a neighboring municipality and it says you can't have that truck on this road because of the weight? I'm just thinking in terms of commerce. These things eventually are probably going to deliver everything from food to, you know, stuff from stores.
Commissioner Maribito, you know, in terms of, like, you know, probably the easiest way to explain it is the posted roads with weight restrictions that we had, which became more common with the Marcellus Shale.
Right.
Yeah, municipalities cannot just, you know, arbitrarily just put restrictions on roads. And I know we've always advised them that. And even, like, with our review of everything, it is based on engineering information as well as safety information. So it's that combination of review. If your roadway is not constructed to support that type of traffic, there are safety items that don't support certain size vehicles or types of vehicles. Those would be, you know, the items or reasoning to put some type of restriction out there.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, if the municipality decided not to approve them, what Sandy's saying here, wouldn't they have to come up with some criteria of why they're disapproving it? Or they would be challenged, right?
Mark, this act is so new. I don't know what the criteria is for it. I mean, I would assume there would have to be some, you know, based on the, and we can, you know, actually check with staff in the central office traffic area to confirm that.
Yeah, because that would be important, because I think that's a good thing you raised with the Marcellus Shale, the heavy hauling. But in those cases, the Pennsylvania Motor Vehicle Code basically spells out the steps and the criteria that the local municipality have to abide by when deciding if and how they're going to post the road. You know, if this legislation provides nothing, then theoretically the local municipality could just say, we disapprove it, and we don't even have to give you a reason, you know?
And, I mean, that could be, because the difference is, and let me try and phrase it this way, is traffic that is providing funding for the, essentially, traffic... The user fees from registration to fuel taxes is really what funds the infrastructure in terms of the use devices. So that's why the motor vehicle code is written as such. That's not necessarily the case here. So that's why I would say I would want to check with our traffic staff on that, because this is very new, and we really there were some different, very quick briefings on it, because this moved relatively quickly, and we actually didn't get a lot of opportunity in advance to look at information on it. So what we can do is we can reach out to just Mark Kupko in central office, who's kind of leading. Actually, the innovation section was more so leading leading the charge. Well, not the charge on this, but getting the information out concerning it, because it was considered new technology and innovation. So we'll get some information, better guidance that hopefully is spelled out in the bill. Okay. Any other? We'll open it up for open discussion, public comments this time.
Hey Sandy, I think it would be a good idea that since we don't hear from them too often, if Jeff Stover can just sort of give us a brief update on rail going on, you know, since COVID here, and also if Rich can give us a briefing on the airport, those two particular boats.
Okay, Jeff, do you want to provide an update on the rail at this time?
Yeah, traffic was pretty stable in 2020. It was down about maybe 10% overall. We've had some customers who have went down significantly. For example, Autoneum on the North Shore in Bloomsburg, because of the automobile production being ceased for a period of a few weeks in the March, April, May time frame, so that I could see that their traffic's down. But at the same time, First Quality Tissues traffic was significantly up in Lock Haven, because of the new plant coming online, and also because their business is booming and they can't meet demand. They make paper towels and bath tissue. And so overall, we're seeing some glimmers of light on the Marcellus. We're getting some frac sand back in. It's a mixed bag. Companies like New Park Drilling, which has got a facility they lease from us in the Newbury Yard, has been moving sand at the same time across the yard just north on Trenton Avenue. M.I. Swaco has closed operations, which was a well service, a drilling services company, was owned by Schlumberger, and they were actually pretty busy in recent years until all of a sudden their business took a tank. So it's really hard to predict who's the winners and losers of Marcellus, but it's inching up from what it had been. So, we actually redid our internal budget, the railroading budget, in April, anticipating a 10-15% increase in revenue, and that's pretty much what occurred. I'd say about a 10%, but given everything else, was not a bad. Let me look real quick here on my computer if I can find the traffic. And I can tell you in gross terms what's going on here. If I can't lay my hand on it, I'm going to find them a different way. Maybe we're going to go ahead with the airline or airport update, and I'll come back to me. Just give me 2 seconds here.
Okay, we can do that, Jeff. Rich, are you on? Is there someone on from the Williamsport Regional Airport? Okay, I guess we'll just follow up with them in May.
I have this, let's see here.
I was looking for. The traffic on the Montgomery Valley was down, Mark, in gross terms, about 600 cars. In 2020, it was 9,639 cars. Last year was 10,294. But if you go back to 18, it was 9,001, and 17, 8,395, and 16, 9,067. So really, 9,639 was above 2016, 17, and 18, but only 600 less. So it's stable. I mean, it's not bad. All things considered, when things, you know, given what we're going through. Jeff, do you see any infrastructure projects coming up along the LVRR that we need to sort of be aware of, or that you might be applying for future RTAP or RFAP funds? The only ones I would reference now, as you may know, there was, like, Cumming Valley received an RTAP and did some rail replacement over in the Muncie area this past in 2020. And so that was that's done. The other project that may come up is, it was an outgrowth of the build grant, which is a raising of the bridge over 220 at Larry's Creek. But that's kind of like a standalone of dealing with John about that. And I think it's something to probably keep as a project for a future project, whether it even may be on its own, or as part of another build grant, or maybe some other initiative that might be undertaken by the county or the region. So that's a bunch of my projects. Like, it'd be nice to do that. This does get hit kind of on a regular basis. If you don't know, generally it's being hit by some oversized loads that are like machinery and equipment and stuff like this. And they've not really done any damage. Our bridge engineer has indicated that if it hits the right spot, it could be a problem. It hasn't hit the right spot. And it's kind of withstood all the onslaughts of, I don't know what's going on with the permitting process at PennDOT. I mean, I'm all for, you know, somehow they're coming up that way, as we all know, whether it's an error on the part of the trucking companies, the drivers, I don't know. But you're aware that when it does happen, it disrupts traffic there for usually a half a day or better while the cleanup is, depends how bad it is. But I would say that would probably be a project that comes to mind. We are doing an RTAP bridge that's already been designed and going to bid later this year. We call it the Iron Bridge, which is just west of the Newbury Yard. And that's a funded project. That's just going to construction. So really, I mean, you certainly want to be aware of it, but it's not necessarily going to be on a plan because it's already going, it's in the process of being
I'm out of the bed. Yeah, Jeff, I agree with you on that 220 thing. And, I mean, we're all watching the new Biden administration and what might come away in terms of a renewed emphasis on trying to get an infrastructure bill, you know, the reauthorization passed, and maybe an enhanced investment in infrastructure. That would be a good, you know, if we have the ability to push some projects out there to Washington for their consideration. I don't know how they'll manage this, but that's a good one to, I think, put out there because of its, you know, you're on the national highway system here with a major obstruction for freight, you know, and so with the multimodal aspects of the safety issues and all that, I think. And look at what happened on 80. And, you know, 220 is the parallel route. And we just had that 80 pile up, and then people were down 220, and then you've got this issue on top of that. So, yeah, that should be something I think should remain high on our list. I don't know if the federal highway person has any insights on. I know it's early, you know. Maybe you guys are just getting your sea legs. You're trying to figure out what's going on. But do you have any advice for us moving forward with our dusting off our long range plans for an infrastructure investment at the federal level?
No, I think that if you're looking for a rail project, that's one I would certainly, if it's not there already, would add it, and it'd be really high priority. A lot of stuff was already, as I mentioned, was actually 2020, but the COVID year, the rail was done at Muncie by our operator. So they actually bid it out. It was several hundred thousand dollars. As you all may have seen,
unfortunately using Section 130 and through the assistance of District 3O, the Great Crossings at Commerce Park Drive and Camp Grove Lane and Schoolhouse Red were done. The first two being very high-profile crossings, particularly Commerce Park. And in fact, in a way, the COVID declining traffic helped us there because there was less traffic to divert, because that's really way in and out of Water Tower Square.
Right.
So, and all the signals were done. So there, a lot of railroad infrastructure was done in Lycoming County in 2020. So that was a plan.
Yeah.
But I know your question is something slightly different. But let me think about it. I may get with our folks to give you some other projects maybe. But the one at the Larry's Creek Bridge over 220 is a pretty good one. It's also one, of course, was proposed for federal funding under bill, actually twice now, I guess. But it's just a standalone. I think it can stand on its own merits.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, any other discussion items? Okay, any other business? All right, well, I appreciate everybody's time and attendance and attention today. So with that, do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll move to adjourn, Commissioner Maravito.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second?
Carrie Mullins, I'll second.
So, thanks, Carrie. Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, hearing no. Meeting adjourned today, and again, thank you, and have a safe and good week. Thank you.